Aaron Rodgers wants you to know that he wants Terry Bradshaw to get to know him on a deeper level. After Terry Bradshaw called Aaron a joke in a radio interview.
I've known Terry for a long time, being a part of Fox. Terry's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's had a legendary career in the media. But Terry, like a lot of people, doesn't know me. And so he's got an idea of what he thinks about me based on what I've done, the documentary, what I've said, mm-hmm. Darkness Retreat, whatever the hell you want to talk about. I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level. And I feel like if he gave me a chance to get to know him, then we'd have a good friendship. Because for me, I have nothing but the utmost amount of respect and deference for what the greats have done. Because they laid the foundation. You know, we're standing on the backs of those guys, and it's because of how they played and how they carried themselves that we're able to have this opportunity to still play this great game, to get paid really well, to set ourselves up for our future. So I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level if he's open to it, and maybe we can go chew some bark or whatever the hell he's talking about together.
I know that people listen to these scenarios, and Terry's right. No harm, no foul either way for me. Like, well played on both sides of this for me. Terry Bradshaw is right that things were different. 40, 50 years ago in the NFL, and there wasn't docuseries about Darkness Retreats and everything else and some of the craziness going on. When you thought of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you didn't think of, ayahuasca and doing different things like that. But Aaron Rodgers was smart to play it on his end, knowing that Terry Bradshaw is an absolute freaking legend in every sense of the form when it comes to Pittsburgh. So he's like, you know what, man? I ain't coming back at this guy. Like, why would I do that? I might be in Pittsburgh for 1 year. I don't need the fans roasting me if we stumble anywhere along the lines and say, well, Terry Bradshaw, this and that. It was well played on both ends. Like, I have no issues either way with either person's comments.
I'm a big Terry Bradshaw fan. I actually thought Terry was a little bit ridiculous that he did all that. And I'm not the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan either. I told somebody one day, I said, I think Aaron Rodgers, this is before it really became known of what he was. And I was like, I think he's kind of a selfish dude and kind of, got some narcissistic tendencies, right? And then, it's kind of what we think. I just didn't appreciate Terry's comments. I thought, why go there? Especially knowing that Terry probably knew what the situation was. He was always going to be there. Just they were slow rolling it. But I did think Aaron handled this pretty well.
What are the chances we see a new Netflix series come out where Aaron welcomes Terry to a darkness retreat with him?
I'd want to go into darkness with Terry Bradshaw.
Can we just get Terry Bradshaw doing ayahuasca down at like Machu Picchu, something like that? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? I agree with you to an extent that Terry Bradshaw overstepped a little bit, but you also have to reason that you have to understand this is that guy's life has been the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when you hang on, let me finish. When you go through an offseason where it feels like a 4-time MVP is toying with your franchise and holding them hostage at the quarterback position throughout the offseason. Not Aaron Rodgers' fault, but you can see where Terry would feel like that. I don't blame him for feeling a certain way about Aaron Rodgers. When you look at it, and it's like, well, I might come back, or I might not, or I might sign a contract, or I'm going to visit him, but I'm not going to give him an answer, and then I'm going to wait 3 more weeks, and then I'm going to wait till minicamp starts. Like, come on, dude. Like, I can understand where Terry Bradshaw, being old school, would be like, all right, this is a little over the top.
Kind of, but Terry hasn't played since the freaking 80s, man.
That kind of feeds into my point.
I kind of feel like his life has been more of a Fox. I think there's more people that know him for being a Fox commentator than do a Steeler quarterback. I'm not saying they don't know that he played quarterback for the Steelers and won 4 Super Bowls. But Terry is very opinionated and critical of people, which is why I've always enjoyed him. So it's kind of a whatever for me.
We've been following this next story for a minute. Shamar Stewart finally signed his rookie deal with the Bengals.
Yes. I feel the exact opposite that I just talked about with Aaron Rodgers and Terry Bradshaw, that nobody came out of this winning.
No.
Like zero. You did not come out of this winning. Shamar Stewart did not win. He got an extra $500,000. Okay, great.
Well, it's not even an extra.
It's just guaranteed, right?
No,
it's an extra guarantee.
That's Mike. That's the funny thing. Is it's a fully guaranteed contract because of it being a rookie deal and a first round draft pick. He just gets $500,000 of it earlier than he normally would, and they get the clause that says. Yeah, if you go to jail for a felony, we don't have to pay you.
It's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous.
I know the
Bengals are so absurd with the way they do business and the way they've treated their stars and their contracts. And Shamar Stewart's representation should have never let it get this far if you were just going to sign it anyways.
Here's the problem for me. Yes, you're right about the Bengals, right? We both agree that you're right about the Bengals. Agreed? But what world do you go into signing a contract? First off, when does the employer ever say, I want to put a clause in here that if you go to jail, I don't have to pay you your guaranteed money? And in what world do you think you should get paid for being in jail?
Yeah. So I agree with you. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous.
But it's never been in a contract before. And so both sides are like, well, I just want to put this in here. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? That's you want to put a clause in the contract that if I go to jail, you don't have to pay me? And in what world do you think you should be paid for sitting in jail?
I mean, wouldn't you feel a certain way too, because it's never been in a contract before? If it was in a contract here, like at the game, and no one else has it, but it's in my contract,
yes,
I'd be like, what is my conscience thinking?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I agree.
I agree with you. Had they said, hey, by the way,
ding,
we moving forward want to protect the organization, and we will be putting this in everyone's contract, this clause, that any guaranteed money you're entitled to, you will not get while serving a jail sentence. Cool. But it had never been in there, and I don't think they explained it, which is more of how bad the Bengals are at doing business. So if they not have Trey Henderson sitting there, one of the best pass rushers in the league the last 5 years, and they won't sign him to a deal, and they wouldn't have waited for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, then we wouldn't be talking about it as much.
So Terry McLaurin was back at training camp with the Commanders. He ended his holdout and was placed on the PUP list, but contract negotiations are still going on.
He is now a hold-in, not a hold-out. He will not practice until he gets a new deal, but he's in some of the stuff with his teammates. He can't be on the field. I don't think there's certain meetings he can be a part of, but he can be around his teammates. Now he's a hold-in. Just pay him. Speaking of being ridiculous, pay him.
I don't know, but it just depends on how much he's asking. Does he want to be a top five, paid as a top five wide receiver? I would. Dude, he's 30 years old. People forget that. This is not like second contract time. This is like,
well,
this is not, he's not like Micah Parsons' age. Like, this is, he's starting to age up there.
But you know why he wants to get paid?
Well, yeah, because that window's closing for him to get paid, and he knows that he has all the cards in his hand right now.
Sure, but DK Metcalf, who he came in the league with, the same draft, gets paid when he goes to Pittsburgh. McLaurin has better numbers as far as catches and receptions, just less touchdowns, and is less of a headache than DK Metcalf. And so, and now he's, a couple years older than DK Metcalf, but he's
Is he at this point less of a headache? Because it's starting to turn into a little bit of a headache.
Not
that I blame him.
He's gotten in less incidents with teammates. He's been, for the most part, more productive. I think he's a more well-rounded receiver. So he's been less of a headache for the most part. This is the first time he's ever been a headache.
Well, and the Broncos are planning to either build a new stadium or renovate their current one, but they have no timetable for getting things done. They also don't know if it will be open air or dome. So basically, they don't know. They don't know anything.
We don't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
They've reportedly started kind of buying up land in other places just in case. First off, just renovate it. That's another thing that's up for the end. They might renovate the Empower Field or whatever it's called now at Mile High. They need to renovate this stadium. It's a beautiful stadium still. Beautiful location. Renovate it. Renovate it. Renovate it. Renovate it. Do not go to a dome. Not in Denver.
Yeah.
No.
I struggle with that. I like the feeling of being outdoors. Buffalo's, the Orchard Park thing, they're not going to a dome. I know there's been talk about Cleveland possibly doing a dome or Chicago or whatever. I don't know, man. I go back and forth because I'm going to be real. I wouldn't want to sit in 10-degree weather and watch a football game.
If you think they should play on grass fields, then you think they shouldn't have domes in certain places because a lot of guys are not going to do what other places do. You don't understand the cost, and it ends up being a not the best conditions like it is in Arizona for that Super Bowl where they slipped and slid it all over the field.
And as a reminder, before I get into this story, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. So I will challenge Bo and Dylan if they remember this story from, 11 months ago. We were trying to get my son, out of the house more often and give him something to get his energy kind of out on. And you know, he loves to run around. He loves to be physical. He loves to be active. So we signed him up for baseball, a little bit of baseball. And it was right after he turned four. He turns five in August, just over a couple of weeks away. Do you guys remember how that I took him to the baseball field last year?
Was this the one where he wanted to play on the playground across the street or whatever?
That was soccer, right?
Okay. Yeah. This baseball one, he went on the field and they got split into groups for instruction. And there was some high school kids around that were helping out and things like that. And they were telling him how to field a ground ball. His first group, first instruction. He's awkwardly left-handed, and he wanted to wear his batting helmet for infield, so it was whatever. But he immediately started crying. 10 minutes into this entire baseball thing. Aww. We had paid, for the jerseys and the hats, and we're all ready for him to go, and he was excited to get there, and he walked out on the field, and he started crying. He didn't like, the strangers, very shy, the strangers talking to him. And I was like, it is what it is. He's freaking four. He turns five in about 3 weeks, and he approached us and was like, hey, I think I want to play baseball. And first of all, he has zero idea what he's even talking about half the time when it comes to sports. There's no clue. But he has approached us and wants to play baseball again. So me and my wife were like, you know what, man? He's a year older. He's almost 5 years old. He can kind of make this commitment. So we signed him back up yesterday to go to baseball. Now, it's about a month away from when this starts. But are we dumb for this? Am I throwing money away? There is I think it's over a couple hundred dollars to sign him up for baseball, which lasted 10 minutes last year.
Oof. Well, you didn't call East Cobb baseball and say, we got to give him a tryout
Sign him up for 101 Westies with Chipper Jones or anything.
He's already got the glove, right? From last year.
Yeah, he's got the glove from last year. So, left-handed glove.
No, let's try it out. Look, clearly something is spurred in him that he wants to do this.
Maybe I don't know what it was.
Maybe a friend at daycare.
No
maybe,
idea.
You know, maybe it's a kid in the neighborhood that he's found out plays baseball. And so he clearly thinks that he is maybe going to a couple of baseball games.
Yeah.
Something's gauged his interest.
Yeah.
Well, and a kid's mind just rapidly develops in the amount of time that's been from last year to this year. So I think getting him out there to try it again, there might be a different outcome.
He spent so much time, Dylan, telling everybody for the last year that he's played baseball before. And I'm like, bro, you played baseball for 8 minutes. Calm down. You did not play baseball before.
I don't think it's a bad idea, though, to answer your question, Mike. You got to let the kids have their interest, and you got to let them, feel things out and find things out for themselves. And if baseball has sparked his interest again, let the man go out there and hit some dingers.
If it had been his idea last year and his idea this year, I'd have been like, nah, dog, you done fooled me once. But the fact that we were like, hey, let's go get him active, let's play a little baseball, and he was like, not ready. And this time he brought it up. I just hope we're not wasting, whatever the sign-up fee is, $240 or whatever, just for a couple of shirts and hats that are going to sit in his closet for the next year. So we'll see, man. But that journey is it's a slippery slope that I've been told about baseball in these parts, that once you kind of get on that ride, it's hard to get off.
When's the first practice?
Right around September 1st. We're about a month out.
I'm ready for an update.
Yeah, seriously. Well, coming up, we've got the wake-up call on the way, 404-726-0929. Jump on the show with us right now. You can ask your questions about Falcons training camp, questions about how Mike and Bo watch the game, because it is very different how most of us watch with their experience with
questions
the team.
Questions about what Allie's favorite Backstreet Boys song is. I'm curious. I don't know which one it was. We'll see.
Oh, my goodness. Which one caused the entire audience to go, wait, what? What are we doing right now? You can give us a call right now, 404-726-0929, or tweet at us at 929 Morning Shift. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.